where people are hurting, where people are angry, and so led me to study this, or I think God led me to study this, honestly. It's so easy to get sidetracked from this simple, basic principle that we know we should be doing. We know we should be loving other people. It's just so easy to kind of put it in the back burner because it's, we know, yeah, I should love. We know that. But it becomes simple to overlook, I think, where it becomes of more of an idea where I love people instead of actually loving people. It's easy to take for granted the fact that we should be loving. It's easy to miss, where we can just go through our day knowing that we should be loving and not actually doing it. It's easy to become selfish or angry or bitter or to feel entitled of why we can be angry at people and why we can be bitter and why we don't have to love. And it seems to be easy to fall into the trap. So this morning, just a simple reminder on biblical love. Very familiar. There's posters with this passage on it. There's signs. You might even have some art in your house with this Bible verse on it. So familiar, but it's so easy to kind of sweep under the rug when we have other emotions and other feelings come, when we're tempted to be angry and not treat others right, not treat our spouse right, not treat our kids right, not treat others right. It's easy to kind of say, yeah, I know I should be loving like 1 Corinthians tells me to, like God wants me to, but I don't feel like it right now. And we can just kind of slip it to the back. And as we study this passage this morning, I just want to ask you, every single person in this room, will you be open? Will you be honest? Will you not just tune me out because I know that? I have that memorized. Can we do that this morning? Where, Holy Spirit, please work in my heart. Please work in my life. Can we do that? Because it is so important to love the way God desires us to love. Let's look at our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's just the first 7 verses. So let's read that this morning. I'll start in verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the love that you have for us. I thank you for sending your Son for us to pay our sin debt, to die on that cross, to shed his perfect blood, to raise again from the dead, so that we can be declared righteous before you, so that we have the opportunity to have a relationship with you. I pray that you will work in our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The word charity in this passage, as you're probably familiar with, is from the Greek word. It's speaking of the agape type of love. And that's an important detail as we study this to understand what type of love is being spoken of. Because this love is bigger than nice feelings, it's bigger than warm affection. It's bigger than romance and desire. This love is a self-giving love. It's a love that demands something from us. It's love that is more concerned with giving than receiving. It's love that backs up its claims with action. It's easy to throw it out there, I love you. But this type of love backs it up with actions. It's bigger than an emotion. It's an action. And I want you to think about that for a moment. This love is bigger than an emotion. It's an action. The next few verses describe, they characterize, they define this type of love for us. You say, I do love. I've got that down. Like, I got this figured out. I want you not to have that attitude, though. I want us to look at these characteristics and then let's evaluate if we're living with this type of love. Don't just tune me out and say, oh, I hear this every Sunday. But honestly, let's see what 1 Corinthians has to say about it, and then let's evaluate. Do I really have this type of love? Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth. They were having some issues with loving the way that God intended them to. They loved themselves. They loved the idea of the spiritual gifts and wanted to show off these spiritual gifts. And in the context, it's in the middle of Paul talking about spiritual gifts. And what he's going to do here is Paul's going to give some extreme examples to help put the importance of love in perspective, to define love, to help them understand what is going on here. Verse number 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The idea here, as you probably figured out, is of being a great speaker. It's all sorts of languages with great skill and fluency, just the most incredible speaker you could imagine, with all the skills in different languages and fluency and being able to explain all the points correctly in multiple languages. That's what Paul is picturing here. But what he says is no matter how skilled you are at speaking, without love, you're just making noise. I mean, that's a pretty incredible statement when you think of who he's referring to and the skills that they have. No matter what they can say, how good they are, without love, just making noise. Also, I want us to think about the big picture here with what is surrounded by these verses, with the people being so focused on their spiritual gifts and themselves and the misuse of their gifts and the pride and the selfish ways that are going on. Because they're not being guided by the Spirit, Paul is reminding them that the spiritual gifts are to be executed in love. Because there were certain gifts that they thought were more important than others, and they would be prideful of these gifts. And one of them specifically has to deal with speaking. And Paul says, listen, you might think because you have this gift, you're doing well. But if you have this gift without love, you're just making noise. And you need to realize this, is what he's saying. Goes on to verse number 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Tells him you could have the gift of prophecy. You can have incredible understanding. You can have incredible knowledge. You can be an extremely intelligent person. You could have so much faith that you can move mountains. But without love, it's nothing. Those are very desirable things. You think of the crowd that he's talking to, the crowd he's addressing. Even for us, knowledge, whew, that's awesome. Big faith, that's incredible. But his point is, hey, if you don't have love, all that stuff is nothing. Fail to love, and it's all nothing. Those very desirable things that he's talking about, when we feel like we have arrived in those areas, it can become tempting to look down at others. Have you noticed that? When you think you got something figured out, when you think you're super smart, It becomes very easy to look down on other people. We can fail to, or we can wonder why people can't be more like us. Why can't you have the intelligence and knowledge of me? And then it becomes easy to look down on those people. It kind of sounds crazy to actually say it out loud, where we think we're so great because we have this knowledge or wisdom, and we're looking down on people because they're not just like us. It sounds almost crazy to think about that actually happening, but doesn't it happen? Where, man, I've got this figured out. Why can't you be like me? Why can't everybody figure out life like me? It'd be a perfect place. And then we're looking down on people, and we're missing where we're to be loving them. Without love, it's nothing. Verse number 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. How can you do that without love? Give everything you have away, be willing to sacrifice yourself, be willing to give your body to be burned. How can you do that without love? Pride, attention, recognition. That's how you can do that without love. Fame. If love is not the motivation, those sacrificial acts profit nothing. So there's those extreme examples that Paul has given us, several illustrations on how important love is. Now what he's going to do is he's going to move into defining love. He's going to give a detailed description of the characteristics of love. And I know that Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. I know that he is addressing the issues that they have. But this type of love, this agape love, has not changed. This type of love is still the love that God desires for us to have towards others. Agape love is still the love that the Holy Ghost sheds abroad in our hearts, according to Romans chapter 5. Agape love is still a fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5. It's just as important for us today as it was for the church at Corinth to walk in the Spirit and love others with this type of love. So just because it was written at a different time to different people doesn't make it of any less value to us. This love is applicable to every relationship that you have and that I have. Look at verse number 4. Charity suffereth long. Suffereth long, patient. Patiently endures. Don't you love how he starts with the difficult one? I mean, it can all be difficult. But he doesn't really ease us into the process here. He's like, hey, this love is patient. It suffers long. The ability to be repeatedly inconvenienced and still respond in love. That can be difficult. Don't children have a way of testing this? Grandkids can even do that to you. They know just what to do to make you not really want to show love at the moment. Think of how patient God is with us when we think of how difficult it is to be patient with others. And think of this, we can't hide anything from God. Like, kids can drive you crazy, or your spouse can drive you crazy at times. They can test your patience. But we don't know all of the crazy stuff that kids do. They can hide some of it, and they still drive us crazy. God knows everything about us, yet he's still patient with us. Love is patient. Started out, maybe we thought we had this whole love thing down, and we get an A+ gold star for the day. How are we doing after seeing that love is patient? Love has the ability to be repeatedly inconvenienced and still respond in love. Just going through it here. Verse number 4, as it continues, charity suffereth long and is kind. kind, to act benevolently. It is useful, it is serving, it is gracious, it is active goodwill. So kindness is talking about action. It's taking action to be kind. Patience refrains from being mean. Patience helps you to not be mean. Kindness takes action towards being nice. It's bigger than not being mean. Does that make sense? Kindness is bigger than not being mean. You know, when someone cuts you off and you refrain from not running them off the road, that might be patience. And if you're tempted to do that, and if you do that, it would be a good place for you to start where you don't run people off the road. But kindness is taking action towards being nice. Then it goes on to say that charity envieth not. That's speaking of jealousy. I want what they have. I wish they didn't have what they have. Jealousy promotes bitterness and anger and even hate. If you've ever went down that road, you understand what jealousy promotes and what jealousy leads to. Jealousy does not encourage love. And there's biblical illustrations we can look at. There's a few of them. But think about Jonathan and David. David was a threat to the throne of Jonathan. Jonathan was the king's son. He was next in line to be king. And David comes in, God's chosen man to be king. And 1 Samuel 20, verse 17 says, he loved him as he loved his own soul. David was a threat, yet Jonathan still loved him. Could you see where the temptation would be there to be jealous? I mean, even unkind, even try to take him out, which is the way it normally went when someone threatened your throne. You tried to eliminate their whole family. But with Jonathan and David, Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. And love is not jealous. Verse number 4 goes on to say, vaunteth not itself. What's that talking about? Love doesn't brag. Love doesn't boast. Love doesn't talk conceitedly. Jealousy is wanting what others have. Bragging is trying to make others want what you have. Interesting perspective on that. Jealousy puts others down. Bragging builds us up. We know how annoying it can be, right, to listen to someone brag, hang out with someone that's braggadocious. We know how annoying that can be. But isn't it easy to sometimes be the one bragging? Where your story has to outdo theirs? We know what it's like to listen to it, but what about when we're on the other side of it? It can be kind of fun at times. The Corinthian believers struggled with this. They were trying to show off their spiritual gifts. And what does bragging promote? It promotes self, and bragging promotes pride. Bragging makes you number one and everyone else behind you. The love bragging promotes is self-love. And that's not the love that Paul is encouraging here. Then it goes on to say that this charity, this love is not puffed up. It's not arrogant. The Corinthian believers had become arrogant with knowledge and spiritual gifts. Can you imagine that? Being prideful of things that are spiritual? Yes, we can imagine that. It's tempting to be proud of spiritual accomplishments. But these Corinthian believers thought that they had arrived and they were filled with pride. They were mistaken. They had issues, as you'll find if you study the Corinthians. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. One commentator said, arrogancy is big-headed, love is big-hearted. And we can see the contrast there. Love is not arrogant. Verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. What does that mean? Love is not rude. Unseemly is talking about not caring enough about those around you to act polite. It's being careless, overbearing, and rude. Being selfish, being inconsiderate. And in thinking of a way to illustrate this one, biggest one that came to mind was eating with someone that is chewing with their mouth open, that is enjoying their food so much they don't care who's around them. You ever been in that situation? Like you're at Old Country Buffet and someone made two trips through the dessert buffet. You know what I'm saying? They don't care who's in the restaurant. They are enjoying that food. And you just sit there and lose your appetite completely. I don't need to tell you that story. But we can see that where we can see rudeness in that simple illustration, in that simple way. But doesn't it help us see it? Where we can be rude and not care about those around us and do our own thing, not promoting love. How about this one? Self-righteous rudeness is also a problem. I don't agree with you, so somehow that gives me a right to be rude. Have you ever thought about that or ever seen that happen or maybe even done that? Love is not rude. Verse number 5 goes on to say, seeketh not her own, is not selfish. We shouldn't love because of how it will benefit us. Let that sink in. We shouldn't love because of how it will benefit us. Think of the example of Jesus. Matthew 20, 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Doesn't that put it into perspective when we talk about how love is not selfish? Jesus left heaven to come here to die for people who would, ultimately, people that would reject him and treat him poorly. Left perfect heaven to come here, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to offer his life a ransom for many. John 15, 13, greater love, you want to talk about greater love? Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. Jesus laid down his life for us. He was not selfish. Love is not selfish. And love is not easily provoked, not easily angered. Have you noticed the more familiar you are with a person or with someone, the easier it is to become quickly angered by them? Have you noticed that? Like a stranger, you have a little more patience because you don't want them to think you're a big jerk. But maybe with your wife or your kids, they chew with their mouth open once and you bite their head off. Do you get what I'm saying here? Love is not easily angered. Anger causes us to say things that hurt. Anger causes us to say things that'll leave scars. And how often is this anger because someone is preventing us from having something that we want? Think about arguments that you have. How often is it motivated by selfishness, which we just talked about? How often is anger a result of retaliation? Well, you said that, you know, here you go. How often does anger happen that way? Telling someone we love them loses some value when we're quickly angered by everything that they do. Honey, I love you, I love you, I love you. But do something wrong and I'm all, you know, watch out. Doesn't that type of love lose some value or validity? Verse 5, this love, this charity thinketh no evil. And that's an interesting concept, because it's talking about this love doesn't keep a list of wrongs suffered. What it is it's a bookkeeping term. Love is not keeping an entry ledger of wrong things that people have done to you. We know how this works, right? Somebody does something wrong to you, ooh, I'm putting that in the bank. And they can stack up, and then when you finally want to let them have it, you've got this whole laundry list of wrongs that you've kept in your accounting ledger where you can just let them have it and let them know how awful they are because of all the wrong that they have done to you in the past. This love doesn't do that. This love does not operate that way. And then verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. This love doesn't celebrate sin. Sin is not something to be celebrated. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. This love rejoices in truth. Love rejoices in truth and not in falsehood and unrighteousness. You go to verse 7, we'll go quickly through this one. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. What is beareth talking about? It's talking about protecting, of covering, of supporting. This type of love, bearing all things, is not gossiping and making the problem worse. It believes all things. It's not suspicious or cynical. It has faith. It hopes. It continues to hope. Is there anybody that you love so much and you're just hoping, praying, not giving up on them? Asking God to bring them back? That's what this love does. It loves and it holds on and it helps and it covers and it believes and it endures. It holds fast to those that it loves. It's not looking for a way out. It faces trials and it still loves. Love refuses to stop bearing, to stop believing, to stop hoping and enduring. Love never fails, as you see at the beginning of verse 8. So that's the passage talking about love. A lot, right? A lot of details, a lot of small things to consider. And your question might be, okay, how can I do that? Good question. Maybe your question is, why should I? Why should I love like that? That sounds like it's tough. Like I have to care about people. We should, because it's what God tells us to do. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So why should we? Because it's what God tells us to do. Other reasons as well, but that's a big one. How can we do this? How can we make this personal? Because that sounds like a whole lot of stuff to remember, a whole lot of stuff to keep track of. How can we do this? With God's help. Very important aspect. That's the only way, honestly, to love like this. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How can we love? With God's help. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. Verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. With God's help, we can love. Love is of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. At salvation, we are given the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits that he produces in our life is love. How can we love? God helps us. God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us love. How can we love like this passage tells us to? By walking in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not a massive checklist of I have to do this and this and this, and I have to read this book and that book so that I can love like I should. How can we love like we should? With God's help. By walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 again. A couple of verses here. Galatians 5, 12. I would... that is not the right passage. Galatians chapter 5, let's start in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be consumed one of another. Don't we find that verse quite often? People biting and devouring each other. There's a warning against that. You'd be consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the key to loving? It's being obedient to God, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. We are supposed to love. We understand that. God helps us. God enables us to love by his love and by the Holy Spirit. Let's not just talk about, I'm a Christian, I love people. Let's not just do that in word, but let's love in deed and truth. Let's actually love. And what that is being obedient to God and to his leading. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your love. I thank you for this reminder that there is a way that we should love and we should be following your example. I pray that you will help us to be sensitive and to be obedient to your leading. And that we will love the way that you desire us to love. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. I pray that you'll work in our hearts right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.